Message to you today. My scripture reading is in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and starting at the first verse. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath, this day set aside in every week to come and remember your creative works, to worship you, to try to be of help to one another. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we express and help them to help each one of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Yeshua, we ask all these things, and amen. And my text is the verse 5 in 1 Corinthians 1. And the verse 5 reads, that in everything you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. That in everything. Not leaving out a thing. And this is speaking of generally of our lives. That in everything you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. Today, the title of my message is Enrichment. And that very definitely has the implication of being rich in God, but even more so, even what you have in God become even more enriched. And one of the dominating motives of the business world, and perhaps many, many lives throughout every one of our communities, one of the dominating things in people's thoughts and minds and pursuits is that of a desire for riches. Some people dedicate their total being to achieving financial riches. But only a few in every community, every city, perhaps we narrow it down even to churches, only a few actually accomplish this that they have in their mind. Others spend their lives in despair because of their inability to become rich. The words of this text that I read to you by the Apostle Paul appears as if it's a congratulation to a group of people who had come into great fortune. And according to Paul, they had done exactly that. Their treasure ship had arrived. The apostle however, was referring to spiritual riches. Spiritual riches that are permanent in their value, rather than financial riches that are of temporary value. And these verses that I read you, nine verses, the first nine of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, within these nine verses, there are nine times that the Apostle Paul refers lovingly to his Savior, Jesus Christ. And he even goes into the very next verse after that, still referring to Jesus Christ as his loving Lord and Messiah. The apostle speaks of the grace of God that his readers had experienced through Christ Jesus. This was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. And he refers to the fact that his readers had experienced through Jesus Christ, in essence, a treasure because they had found the loving Savior. Incredible riches. He sought to help them realize the extent and appreciate the nature of their newfound riches in Jesus Christ. There was once an early missionary that was visiting an African village. And as he came into their village, he noticed that the little children were gathered around the houses there in an opening, and they were playing with what looked to be just odd-looking stones. But however, he decided he would examine these stones a little bit more thoroughly, and he determined that, in actuality, these little odd-looking stones that these little children were playing with were actually diamonds in the rough. And similarly, those of us who have come to know Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, similarly, some of us have not yet realized the treasures that are ours through knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord, and knowing that through Jesus Christ, salvation came into the world by Him and through Him, so that we would have all of those things that are promised as God's children. Paul wrote to the Romans concerning their riches in Christ Jesus, and he was vividly aware of the spiritual riches that had come to these Romans. I'd like to go look at a couple of verses in Romans in regard to the riches that come to us through having Jesus and keeping Jesus Christ in our heart and lives. Let's go to Romans 9 and 23 and look at that. Romans 9, 23. And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Let's look at Romans 11 and 33. We're speaking of riches, spiritual riches that come to us through Jesus Christ from God the Father. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. It cannot be, even in our wildest imaginations, the riches and favor that is ours and rewards that will be ours both now and in the future from God the Father through Jesus Christ. Also, let's look at Ephesians 2 and 4 and see some of the verses there that speaks of these riches through Jesus Christ. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. And let's go to verse 7. So that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let's go to verse 3, chapter 3 and verse 8. Ephesians 3 and verse 8. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. And in his second epistle to the Corinthians, Paul speaks of how those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are rich in the things of God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. These riches are ours through Jesus Christ. And as believers, we need to appreciate that we have these wonders of our spiritual being, of a spiritual estate. And this will cause us to more properly appreciate the things that are ours through Jesus Christ. And those who have not yet trusted Jesus Christ need to recognize that they are missing greatly on things as a result of their neglect and refusal to let Jesus Christ be Lord and Savior of their lives. There are at least three ways in which we are enriched by and through Jesus Christ. And the first of these is that we are enriched by a new relationship to God. Yes, as it is said, old things are passed away, and all things become new. We are reborn. And one asks, how can that be? How can you be reborn? You can be reborn spiritually. You can be reborn to God. And that's this new life that we are speaking of. We're enriched by a new relationship to God. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we become children of God. Do you know, time and time again throughout God's Word, it speaks of God the Father, God the loving Father. It speaks of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. And it speaks of the ones who come to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and accept God's plan for mankind and His plan for all eternity, all of us who accept that, accept God as the Father and Jesus Christ His Son and the salvation plan, we become children of God. Let's look at John 1 and 12. And read that together. John 1 and 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. It doesn't take anything great to come to the knowledge of God and of His plan for us, and for us to make the decision that as He wants us to become His children, and as He loves us as His children, we need to want to be His children. And as His children, we need to want to know what He expects of us, how we are to live our lives, and then we need to want to obey Him just as we would our natural, loving father or mother. There was a daughter-in-law of a multimillionaire, and it was said as she gave birth to her first son that as the minute this child was born, that he was spoken of as a millionaire. The day of his birth, a millionaire. Perhaps there's time when you wish that you had been born similarly, with a silver spoon in your mouth, so to speak. While there are cases like that, we need to recognize and rejoice that the blessings associated with being a child of God are far greater than any kind of natural wealth birth, like I've just described. Harriet Buell wrote these words in this poem. "My father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King." If God is your Father, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you are among the wealthy of the most wealthy. Through faith in Christ, we become partakers of the divine nature. Let's look at 2 Peter 1 and 4. 2 Peter 1 and 4. "For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." How? By accepting God's plan of salvation, by accepting his plan for mankind, that through Jesus Christ you become born again, a rebirth. And each and every moment and day of your life from that point on, you are growing as a newborn babe. You are growing spiritually. You're becoming more like the one who created you. And he wants you to be more like him. He wants to do the very best for you. He wants you to be the best that you can be. This new life has many qualities and is full of many good qualities. It causes us to love the things that God loves. It causes us to want to do the things that God would want us to do. What does that mean? A lot of the times we're going to have to be putting off the things that we, from a natural standpoint, we want to do, think that is best for our lives. We're going to have to put some of them things aside in order to stay within good standing of our Father God. Through faith in Christ, we receive the assurance of victory over death. And listen to this. This life is not all there is. Not if you're one of God. Not if you're God's child. This life is not all there is. The graveyard is not going to hold you forever. When Jesus Christ comes through the clouds on what is called the day of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he comes in the clouds of glory, each one of God's children is going to find themselves, whether dead or alive, rising out of wherever they are, rising to meet Jesus Christ in the air. And for what? To have a part and to take place in those mansions that Jesus Christ and God the Father are preparing right now for you in preparation for your coming at that day of the Lord. He told us when he left, Jesus Christ did, watch and be prepared and take the mission of God throughout all parts of the world. How? Each one of us being willing to open our hearts and minds to him and our lives to him, accepting him as Lord and Savior of our life, and as that, being willing to try to be of help to anybody that comes around us, wherever we are. This is what God's plan is for us. He wants us to be of service to him and to be of service to our brothers and sisters. Let's look at John 14, 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, forever and ever and ever. Never to face permanent death. Always to be in the care of our brother Jesus Christ and our Father God. And as Jesus said himself, he who believes in me shall never die. Do you believe? That's what Jesus said. Do you believe this? You should believe that. That is what God has planned for you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery, but we will all be changed. Excuse me. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, meaning death, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable shall it put on the perishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality. Then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't those wonderful promises? Great is our security. If we have placed our faith in our loving Lord Jesus Christ, who himself conquered death and the grave. Jesus Christ died for each one of us so that we, in belief in him, have that hope of eternal life. And as we believe in him and hold on to him to the end of our life, then we know we have eternal life with him, forever to be with the Lord, forever and ever. He's promised, Jesus has promised, to give each of us that same victory that he had of dying the death and God bringing him back forever to live eternally. Jesus Christ was that one who served as a carpenter in the little village of Nazareth. And he's now gone into the heavenly carpenter shop to prepare a home for those who love him. Secondly, we are enriched by inexhaustible resources for living a victorious life. What are some of these inexhaustible resources for living? Well, first of those is the inerrant teachings of the Bible and the unblemished example of Jesus Christ as he lived his life, and it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the rest of the New Testament. All of the words that are recorded about him and about his life and about his death in the Old Testament by the prophets. To follow Jesus Christ in his attitudes and ambitions and actions is to discover the reality of the abundant life, enriched life that is available to each one of us in the here and now. He provides light for the pathway in the present, and he will continue to do so in the future. Jesus has promised that those who not only hear but also heed his teaching will find a stability and a security in life that will provide them with the inward resources that are essential when the storms of life come beating on your door. We are enriched by inexhaustible resources of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a freely offered gift from God. That Holy Spirit is that same Spirit that tugs at your heart, that brings you to God in the first place. It's God's Holy Spirit that speaks to your mind and tugs at your heart that there's a better way of living your life than what you are presently doing, and that you need something you don't have. You have a void in your life that needs to be filled, and only God can fill it. And by his Holy Spirit that he offers to each one of you as a free gift, you can say, yes, God, give me more power in my life. Give me more resistance to the things that come against me. Give me supernatural power that others don't have, that I can have in you through the Holy Spirit, and He will give that to you. He promises you His Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the church that our Lord loved and which He commissioned to evangelize the world is another one of those resources that you and I have. Everyone needs a cause to live for and a cause to give to and a cause to die for. There's no greater cause on the earth than that for which the church came into being. The believer can find within the church great spiritual resources also from the brothers and sisters, from their help, from their discussions of faults and failures, and reliance on God to provide. He will provide. Thirdly and lastly, we are enriched by the rewards of a loving Heavenly Father. Rewards in the present. Right conduct that God demands is and has its own reward. God has so designed the universe that he who lives for God and for others will discover an unfathomable joy that comes about as a result of doing that which is right. There's not much greater things than to do that which is right and know that you are doing it. Know that it is within the bounds that God sets forth in His Word to guide your life. There's no greater joy than to know that you are being obedient to the one that brought you into this place anyway. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God the Father causing you to be here. And as such, He has a plan. He has something for each one of us to do that no one else can do. And you might think that you are totally unworthy and that it doesn't apply to you. But I assure you, it does apply to you. And I assure you that God does have a plan for you and that you will be no better off in your life than to accept that as a fact and let God know that you're ready to be one of His children and to stay that way the rest of your life. The assurance of worthy achievement in a worthwhile enterprise makes a tremendous contribution toward happiness. We need to give ourselves to the Lord in a ministry of mercy to a needy world. We know that all around us there's people that need more than what they have. They've not found what they really need in life, and that is God. They need the rebirth, but they just don't accept it. They haven't came to that point in their life. And it could be that we are the only one that can cause them to pause long enough to see the light for the bulb to come on to them that there's a better life. And it involves God and His plan for all mankind, but for each one of us. God will bless us with victory over difficulty and victory over all the handicaps. And when we believe Him, and when we believe enough to accept His plan for our life and let His Word guide us, then we will receive His wisdom and we will receive His energy. We receive His guidance. We will receive all of His provisions. There's no better way to live your life than with God. The happiest people on earth today are not the wealthiest people or the most powerful. The happiest people are those who have a right relationship with their Father God and who are seeking to do His will, God's will for us in every other area of our life. There are also not only rewards in the present, but there are also rewards in the future. Eternal rewards. Let's look at Matthew 6 and 19 and see what those verses say. Matthew 6 and 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in or steal. Do you see? We need to focus on things above, not just in riches of treasures on this earth. Paul was pointing out the permanent value of some things in contrast to the temporary value of other things. And he would encourage us to live each one of our lives with the issues and values of eternity, permanency in mind. Each of us can have the privilege of hearing the Master say, as recorded in Matthew 25 and 21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When you think on your life and what it's been like up to this point in time, the result of your life, are you enjoying the rich rewards of God in the present? And are you investing your life and energy in such a manner as to have the promise of rich rewards in the future? And this was one of the hopes that sustained and comforted the writer of this letter, the Apostle Paul. What sustained and comforted him was this hope of eternal life. This hope of being a child of God and being with Him forever and ever. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." These words were written as he sat in jail, awaiting to have his life taken. And he was able to meet that fate, knowing that he was a child of God. And all the things that was promised to anyone as a child of God was going to be his. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, then you are indeed poor. You are poor in your relationships, in your resources, and in rewards. And I would ask you to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, that work that God has for you may be started in your life, that it may work in you and may be working through you to effect not only changes in yourself, but things that you can do and say and be to others that will help them in their life. He will enrich others through you if you will but let him. Enrichment. God has it for each one of us. I'd like to now ask you all to stand, and let's read the blessing of God to us, and our blessing to each other. Let's all read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face on you and give you peace.